Thank you, Daniel and Will and Luke. It's a pleasure to watch these guys grow and continue to use their talents for the Lord. I've known Luke and Will for about 6 years and watched them continue to grow in their abilities and also just their focus as they serve the Lord and worship the Lord. And Daniel, about 10 more years than that, maybe 11 years, about 17 something years, just to continue to see him serving the Lord and growing is awesome. I love watching what I consider young adults continue to pursue the Lord and use their giftedness. It's one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight is finishing up with the spiritual gifts. But I'll tell you, if you enjoyed Riley this morning singing, that was awesome. Wasn't it, to see that young lady, and she's seventh grader, brand new, but she took the stage and didn't seem like she was all that nervous and handled herself really well. God used her. But I tell you, Daniel's the one who should probably take some real credit for that. He works with our students every Wednesday night, week in and week out, and he's been doing it for years. And he's great with them because he doesn't just cover skills, and he wants it to sound good, and he appreciates it when it does. But I tell you, his heart is discipleship, that these kids have the right attitude when they're up leading worship and they understand they're coming in, and it's so neat to see that, and it's a real blessing. So thank you, Daniel and Luke and Will, for leading us tonight. I'm going to use this just briefly. Like I said, Dennis gave me the opportunity to finish this up, and so I appreciate that, and also I appreciate the fact that he kind of wrote out my sermon for me, so I'll just read what he wrote, and we're good. He's done a great job, and it's kind of been this way the past few Sunday nights where Dennis would take the time to finish up the last couple spiritual gifts. And so we are going to be looking at the gift of service, the gift of teaching, and the gift of wisdom tonight. So it's been neat to see him, after he goes through them, to say, well, who has that gift? And I'm sitting back, and so I'll see some hands kind of not sure. I'll see other hands just shoot up there and say, that's me. And so as we've gone through these, I think we probably realize that we all have little bits of these. There's times I've got a little mercy, but it's just not, it's not jumping off me. There's times I have moments in administration, but most of the time I'm terrible at administration. Praise the Lord for Kay Croxton, right, who can do all that stuff and who's gifted in administration. But I think we really do all have little bits and pieces of these, because this is Christ. This is God's Spirit giving us gifts. And he does seem to give us certain spiritual gifts that we can just shoot our hand up and say, yeah, that's me. Or maybe two that we say, yeah, that really. And when we take the spiritual gift test, that's really where we start to see, okay, based on all these questions I just answered, here's a chart, and okay, I am high here and high here. And we kind of get to learn and know ourselves a little bit better through that. So I kind of want to end tonight just talking a little bit about our passion, because that is what's coming next as you get into the devotionals this week. It's going to be talking about your passions and your abilities. That's part of the place ministry, which I really found enjoyable. I went through that when we first did it here, and I'll tell you, it was spot on from what I could tell. It was a little difficult as far as just having to write down so much and answer all these questions, and you start kind of feeling depressed at certain points, thinking, oh no, and then it'll come over here and talk about another part of who you are, and you say, oh, that's pretty neat, yeah. But by the time it ties it all together at the end, I really would encourage everyone, if you can, to go through place. By the time they tie it all together at the end, it's almost spooky. It was some of the stuff I read, because even I really like this part where tied the personalities, the D-I-C-S, in with your different spiritual gifts. If you're high on this gift and you have a I personality, here's probably some things that you find yourself doing in church. And my mouth dropped. I said, it described, to a T. And so it's these tools that people have developed, Jay McSwain for this one with the Place Ministry, these tools can be really, really valuable. And so, again, a part of those tools continue this week. Just because we're leaving spiritual gifts doesn't mean that's it, because there's life experiences that have shaped you, and boy, those really shape us, right? The different things you've been through, major life experiences that maybe the way you grew up or something that happened in your childhood or adulthood, midlife, whenever it was, these different things shape us and make us who we are. And they talk about passions in this, and even get into talking about who do you feel compassion for. A lot of times people feel compassion for people who they can help. They know. They've been through certain things. And so based on having been through that themselves, they can help other people. And so all this ties together in a really, really neat way. I'm excited to, as we continue to study this over the next few weeks. But let's look at our notes. If you have your notes, hopefully, if you saved them from the night before. If not, that's okay. We're going to look at the gift of service first. And it says, again, taken from J. McSwain, the gift of service is a special attribute given by God's Spirit to certain members of the body of Christ to identify, assist, and support ministries within the body, thereby allowing those ministries to effectively accomplish their desired results. People with this gift, it says, provide the practical work that needs to be done in any group or program. They enjoy working behind the scenes. Basically, these are people who like to get things done. They see a need, and they say, well, I can do something about that, or I can figure out a way where we can get this done. Oftentimes, these people, again, don't really, they're not doing it for the recognition. They don't necessarily like being up in front of people. They will if they have to, but a lot of times they just work behind the scenes, doing what needs to be done to help the ministry pull together and do all that needs to be done. A lot of times, thankfully, these people don't thrive on recognition because a lot of times they go unrecognized. They're just every day getting it done, or they're the ones who take care of the details and cover things that folks like me just kind of take for granted. Sometimes I'm smart enough to remember, oh, I need to thank them and really take time to appreciate them. Downstairs, I know, for example, we got a couple folks. Lisa Gordon would be probably the main one who comes to mind, who takes care of food for the students. The students love having a snack when they come on a Wednesday and Sunday. And she really has taken that and ran with it. But at the same time, it's easy to take folks for granted and just say, oh, everything looks fine. And she's been good about reminding me, hey, we need some more help, or I could use some more help. And some folks have come downstairs and stepped up to help us have even more food and help down there. Let's see, and there's another, I don't think she's here tonight because these folks that sometimes work behind the scenes, they really don't like recognition, but I don't see her. Every Wednesday night, I mean, we have a great time downstairs studying. We have bulletins that, again, Kay does for us, but those bulletins a lot of times just get left scattered everywhere. When Wednesday night's over, they sprint to the basketball court, right? And so I hope a couple of the bulletins go home with great notes, and maybe two or three. But most of the bulletins are just scattered everywhere, and I would just walk out of there too. But Megan McBride, ever since she first got in the youth group, she went and picked up every one of those bulletins, and she'd do it every Wednesday night, and sometimes I'd stop and see her and help her out and just appreciated that about her. But then other students would start to see it. I've noticed pretty much every Wednesday night there's one or two that'll stick around and help her, because really she's leading out with her spiritual gift of serving behind the scenes. And she wouldn't, in fact, she's not here, right? I don't see her, because she would kill me for pointing that out, because she does not like recognition. In fact, I thank her, and she just kind of says, just leave me alone, let me do this, and there's folks like that that we just appreciate so much, folks that have that gift of service or helps, it's also called, who just are going to do what needs to be done, and they don't want, it's not flashy or anything like that. So folks with the gift of service, you may not raise your hand, right? You probably keep it down here, but any of y'all sense that that's where you're strong is a gift of service. And I see some of those folks, yeah, who say, yeah, that's me. And sometimes that combines, with other gifts, and it's really neat to see how these gifts combine. As I even see some of the hands that come up, I say, yep. All right, next is the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching is the special attribute given by God's Spirit to members of the body of Christ to communicate biblical truths in a manner through which others can learn and understand these biblical truths. Obviously, we're all familiar with that. If we've been in church for long, folks who are good teachers, folks who enjoy teaching, and a lot of you enjoy teaching. It says that people with this gift use age-appropriate methods and materials. That's real important that we have, we're blessed to have different ages, different material, and folks who feel called or feel comfortable with certain age groups. I obviously feel the most comfortable with teenager and young adult, where I just have done that for a long time and feel like I kind of know what to say, at times, or how to relate. And put me in an environment with little children, and again, I kind of don't do well. I get, nervous and just run out of the room, And so we all have, it's folks who teach and a lot of times we're gauged into certain audiences. Also, they communicate information to inspire greater faith. Obviously, that's a goal, through teaching, is to inspire folks to trust the Lord. And these folks take time to pray, prepare study and reflect. Of these, it's something that people with a gift of teaching enjoy that. They test their understanding with elders and leaders, which is true, and certainly I always appreciate when, especially with students, where I oversee, if someone has a question about something they're teaching, they come and run it by me. I may not know the answer, but I can talk with them and research and or get, you know, pull in another pastor or two and discuss some of the harder topics or some of the what we would consider gray areas, especially in student ministry, where we want to give a solid, consistent answer to students. They also see both the forest and the trees and help others make similar distinctions and connections. Again, these are Dennis's notes, but I do understand what he is saying there, that these are folks that can take concepts and break them down into teachable, sometimes simple concepts, which is a gift. These are folks that like to teach with accuracy, take what they're reading and be accurate with it, but also make it simple and systematic. These are folks that truly enjoy learning, but even more, I think folks with the gift of teaching enjoy communicating what they've learned, right? Because there's a lot of folks, I think, that enjoy studying, they enjoy learning, but maybe they stop it there. But folks with the gift of teaching really find that that's the outlet they're looking for, is to get with a group of people. Some, and again, that's different based on the size, and some people really enjoy small groups and they've honed it down to say, hey, groups of 8 and 10, that's where I shine. Or other folks, a group of 50 is where I really feel like, you know, and that comes with skill and training, but I think that's also a design God gives to us. And so you take, I think the example given in the book, a lot of you would know Rick McJenkins as a teacher, and you can see Rick just thrives in that environment when he gets to explain something and teach that way. And so Rick would be a good example of someone with the gift of teaching. But again, I think the key is, it's not just that they enjoy learning. They and kind of what I'm high on that gift, and what I find is that's when I learn the best, is when I'm teaching others. And so if it's kind of, if I am studying something and I'm not going to get to teach it, I just don't go as far. And when I'm actually in the midst of teaching, I'm learning more as I'm actually teaching folks. So I understand that the communicating part is big for teachers. And the last of the gifts would be the gift of wisdom. It says this gift, the gift of wisdom, is a special attribute given by God's Spirit to certain members of the body of Christ to understand and discern biblical truths and apply these truths. This has to do with application of truth, which results in godly living, skills in godly living. People with this gift apply spiritual truth in imaginative, insightful, and practical ways. People with this gift also foresee opportunities that are not obvious. They provide inspiring solutions in the midst of conflict or confusion, and perceive and respond to the deep needs of individuals or the group. The example given in our devotions this week would have been Jethro, which was Moses' father-in-law. In Exodus chapter 18, in verse 13, it says, "And it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening." And so the scenario, you're familiar with the story, but Moses was having to provide counsel, judgment, decisions for a ton of people from morning until evening. It was taking him all day long. And when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, saw what he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand about you from morning until evening?" So Moses discerned a problem. He saw a problem, and he you could see he was already thinking of a solution, a wise solution. And Moses explained his problem, and basically his father-in-law told him, "The thing you're doing is not good. You're going to wear yourself out." Verse 18 says, "You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you." In other words, there were people just standing around probably wanting to help him, but he didn't see that at the moment. And there were people that were waiting all day and getting worn out. He said, the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. And it continued, he said, "Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You'll be the people's representative before God, and you'll bring the disputes to God. Then teach them statutes and the law, and make known to them the way which they are to walk and to work, and the work they are to do. Furthermore, Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. So here was Moses' father-in-law, a man with obviously the gift of wisdom, saying he had had experience, but also saw, here's a solution, here's a practical solution to your problem, and offered that up to Moses. The effect, the people with the gift of wisdom, I realize that the principles God gives affect life situations. These are you know, parenting skills, money skills, leadership, how we work, marriage, all those sort of things. People with the gift of wisdom see God's word and begin pulling principles out that can be applied quickly. I didn't ask. Let me go back to this. The gift of teaching. How many of y'all see yourselves as that being pretty high up for you? The gift of teaching. A couple folks. All right. And what about the gift of wisdom? The gift of wisdom. Okay. That was my highest. And as I read and looked at J. McSwain's stuff and how it combines with personality, I was really surprised at how accurate that was. I'm always looking for ways, and I spend most of my time in Proverbs just because I love those principles. I see them as principles that can be applied to so many different situations. And so it makes sense to me. And I find a lot of, you know, energy in that and enjoy really, really doing that. So that's the end of the gifts. But really quick, just as we end our time together, I want to go back to what Dennis started with this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where he stressed and what God really placed on his heart this week is that verse 20 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That part, that phrase there, we are ambassadors to Christ. And we realize that. We know we are ambassadors to Christ, imploring others to be reconciled to God. These spiritual gifts, these extra, it's almost icing on the cake. Because like I said, I think all of us, as we walk with Christ and become more like Christ, we gain mercy. We gain some administrative mindset. We gain wisdom. We enjoy these, but these special giftings that are given to us where we can shine in that area and be even a better ambassador. That's the question I wanted to pose to us tonight, is what kind of ambassador are you being? What kind of ambassador are you tonight? I want to be the best ambassador I can. We see Dennis up here with energy and excitement, and you know why. It's because he is operating in his giftedness. There's a lot of other reasons, but I think that's one of the main reasons that we see an energetic man up here is he's operating in his giftedness. And again, that you could throw in there that he's been faithful and has learned so much by being with the same people for so long. But, you know, when I think of being an ambassador for Christ and wanting to be the best ambassador I can, what came to mind, again, was that idea of passion and excitement about what we're doing. When I first heard about the J. McSwain's study, and we actually got to meet with him and heard from him for a day, and I enjoyed that time, but I emailed him after I thought about it and looked at it, and I said, you know, Jay, do you really see a difference? Do you really see a difference in people sticking? You know, because, you know, I love seeing people. A lot of times what happens is people come to me or somebody else, another ministry, and say, hey, I'd like to help out. Well, great, good. I kind of assume they've thought it through. They're excited about students. And there's not a lot of vetting that goes on. You know, we do background checks. We talk. We encourage. And I'll talk to them about their past experiences and that sort of thing. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes folks will get in and they'll stay and they'll do it forever. You know, the David Cooks, the people that find their ministry and they just stick with it. Other folks, you know, halfway through the year, I'm starting to think, oh man, I don't know if they are having a good time. What can I do? Is there a way I can help them? And you know, after a year of hard work, they say, hey, I'm kind of done with this, and they go on. And so I asked Jay, I said, do you see a difference when people really go through place and take that time and put the energy into trying to really discover what their place of service is. Do you see a difference? And he said yes, definitely. And he gave examples of people that took the time to really find out, based on, again, their personality and their spiritual gifts and their life experiences and all these other things, their passions and abilities, to find their place of service, that they found it and they loved it so much that it became a passion for them. It grew and developed and it didn't wane. But he said it is slow. I mean, it's not one of these things that you can just, you know, throw together real quick. It's slow, and we respect that process. That's even why we're trying to keep the classes, you know, smaller and take our time. We thought about taking everybody through it at once, but to go slower and to let folks, when they're ready to take these steps, because a lot of times I don't think it's going to shake you up terribly and say, oh no, I've been in the wrong place, but it can certainly begin to narrow you down into something more specific. Because a lot of times what we do is we say, well, where do you need me? You know, where you need me, Pastor? That's not a bad attitude, and we should still have that attitude. But again, Jay was saying in his research and all that, do that about with a third of your time, you know. But the other two-thirds, be sure you're serving where your passions, where your gifts lie, okay? And because, again, if we're Christ's ambassadors, it's not good to be showing up to serve kind of, you know, okay, I'm here, what do you need me to do? And you got folks saying, well, you know, do you really want to be here? I mean, it's not hard to tell when someone's excited about being there. And excitement may not be the best word, because there's times I show up and I'm just kind of dragging. But, you know, it doesn't take long at all for me to remember, oh, yeah, this is, oh, and for a few things to happen for me to start getting passionate and excited again about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so as an ambassador for Christ, where's your energy level and your excitement and your passion? And if it's waning a little bit, my encouragement, my challenge for you would be to take some time. It may take you going through place. And one of the best things about place, it's just a few weeks, actually, if you do it every week. I think it's a 6-week class or so, 5-week class. And of course, they're doing it in a weekend setting in January. I think it's a one-day setting, and we did it in just a few hours, and we did it as a staff. But if you go through that, there's an interview process afterwards where folks like Ginger and Lori and Keith and others who are helping them are learning how, that's part of their giftedness, is learning how to meet with people and help them put two and two together and find where it might be, where they might find the most fruit and most joy and passion, excitement about serving. So it may take you doing something that drastic, or it may just be a little adjustment. It may, and that's not drastic, you know, that's something I think we should do, but I'm saying that's more energy than just a little adjustment. Sometimes I realize I'm waning on energy. I'm just my attitude, what's going on here? And I realize sometimes it's just taking the time to sit back down and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? And what's working? Where am I finding joy? You know, where am I really enjoying? Okay, why am I enjoying that? Okay, let's figure out a way to do more of that. Where am I being drained? Why am I over here operating in these gifts or trying to operate in these areas where I'm not gifted and it's draining me anyway? Oh, Paul, you're not delegating. Or, you know, any number of things that I can try to improve upon to be sure that I am in that lane where I'm spiritually gifted and as an ambassador for Christ, I'm showing up. You know, I'm waking up, and that's what I mean by showing up. I'm waking up with passion and excitement about whatever God might have for me that day. All right, so let's enter into a time of prayer as we do on Sunday nights, and let that be your conversation, your prayer with God tonight. God, you know, I want to be your ambassador, and when I show up, when I wake up in the morning, and I've got ever how many hours before I go to bed again at night, I want to be full of passion and energy, God. I want to be full of passion and energy. I want to do as much as you possibly want me to do in a day, Lord. And sometimes I get in my own way. I know I do. So you may too. And so take some time. Take that before the Lord. And again, feel free to join with others. However, Wednesday night's usually a very casual prayer time. If you want to move around, get with folks, or just right where you are, we'll take some time to pray, and then we'll close together. With a short invitation. All right. But let's If you would, let's enter into a time of prayer. Thank you, Will. That's what it's all about. Walking in His will, enjoying the freedom He gives. And on top of that, He provides, I consider it icing on the cake, that we could find our passions, our spiritual gifts, and walk in those and enjoy abundant life, enjoy just being overcomers. You know, we have it all. So that's what we get to enjoy this week. And as Dennis so often says, we're about to scatter. We want to scatter even better than we gather. As we're out there, that we would shine the light of Christ. And so that is our charge this week. We look forward to seeing you back here soon. But also, you just have one other thing to concern yourself with is stay warm, right? Go find a fire, get a good blanket, enjoy this cold weather while we have it, all right? Thank you. I'll have a good week.